program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply. It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
And your co-host, Alisa Profumo. How are you doing, Alisa?
I'm doing great today. How are you?
Yeah, this is going to be an interesting show because you're going to be giving us a lesson today about history, right?
Well, I don't know if that's what you call it, but if that's what you want to call it, okay.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a lesson.
I was giving you a lesson earlier.
Yes, I know. I should have paid attention in school much more. It's very apparent now. But I couldn't help notice that right before we went live, you were feverishly checking your email. What's going on? Are you still?
Well, it's gotten to be a habit because, okay, I emailed Richard Simmons.
You mean Richard Simmons, the weight loss guru of the 70s and 80s?
Uh-huh.
Go ahead.
I emailed him to see if he would come on the air so you could interview him.
Oh.
And so now it's become kind of a joke. Every morning I'll get up or at least in
how long ago did you email him?
It's been a couple weeks, I'd say. Maybe
okay.
2-3 weeks.
Okay.
And so every day I'll check my email and I'll say, well, I wonder if Richard Simmons replied.
And he hasn't, huh?
Well, I actually did get an email back from his agent, I guess.
Right.
I got that back yesterday.
And what did he say?
And he said he would let me know about Richard Simmons, but he suggested someone else by the name of Gary Kobat, K-O-B-A-T.
Oh, I don't know who that is. I don't know that I've ever heard of Gary Kobat, but that doesn't mean anything. There's a lot of people I haven't heard of, so.
Yeah, I don't know who it is, but it is. Oh, I'm sorry, K-O-B-A-T.
K-O-B-A-T, Kobat.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. So he would advise me on Richard Simmons at a later date.
I would love to have Richard on the show, actually, because, you know, love him or hate him, and I know a lot of people have kind of made jokes about him, mm-hmm. but he really did help a lot of people lose weight.
Well, he did, and he is an icon. He was one of the first people out there to start getting people motivated.
Do you know anybody
exercise.
Who actually used to follow him at all?
My mother.
Did she really?
Mm-hmm. Well, she would just, you know, exercise. I remember seeing her at home exercising to some of his, I guess there were albums or vinyl, you know.
Were they, CDs or even tapes, cassette
maybe
tape
probably. Maybe VCR tapes or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Maybe that's
yeah.
what she
oh,
had.
Oh, he did that sweat into the oldies thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think he jumped the shark when he tried to come out with that card system for people to diet using cards. It was like a deck of playing cards, and you would move one card from here to there based on what you ate. And I thought that he was basically trying to take the Weight Watchers program, and instead of calling them exchanges, he used like playing cards. Mm-hmm. And I kind of felt like he jumped the shark. He was really stretching to stay relevant in the fitness and nutrition community by just kind of revamping the Weight Watchers program.
Right. And he is different, you know, but I just thought it would be something different for the show.
Right.
So
I mentioned on the air during yesterday's show that someone posted found the Wizard of Oz and his staff accepting the Emmy Award at the Emmys. And I've watched it back and forth a few times, slow-mo'd it down and so on. And I have to say that there are some clearly fit-looking people in the background and at the periphery of the crowd.
Was it predominantly?
Clearly, the people who have the greatest role, like the woman, when they awarded Dr. Oz the award, whatever the Emmy was for, a woman comes out from behind the curtain. And I guess that must be his producer. She looks like she has either auburn or red hair, and she's wearing a blue dress, which I guess would be, you know, a very, very tight-fitting sheath of a dress with off one shoulder.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not being mean, okay? So I'm trying to pick my words so that the listeners know that I'm not just trying to be mean, okay?
And you're not going to offend anyone.
Right. But you could see everything on her body. This dress was designed to show everything on your body, and you could see everything on her body. And it wouldn't be the if that were someone close to me and they were getting ready to go on national television and they said, "How do I look in this dress?" I'd say, "You know, you really shouldn't wear that. You really shouldn't."
Would you really say that?
Yeah, because it was so overtly transparent.
Well, but there were a lot of other people up there that were
all equally very, very over, and guys too. I mean, there was one guy that's in the front with a tux on, and he looks like he's got a, you know, beer keg hidden under his tux. I mean, and the reason I'm picking on this is because these people are supposed to be producing a show that teaches people how to be healthy. And I don't think many of them are healthy on his staff.
Oh, didn't you say something earlier that you were going to request that Dr. Oz or challenge Dr. Oz
to get his
staff into shape?
Yeah, I'm sure that Dr. Oz would not follow one of my challenges. I'm sure that I'm insignificant to him. But I would challenge Dr. Oz to take those staff members, and he knows who they are, and get their blood markers done. And the ones who are clearly pre-diabetic or even full-blown diabetic, the ones that have dyslipidemia, I would say to apply all the things that he espouses to his staff and whip them into shape and put it out there on the network and say, look, we've been telling you how to live, but we haven't been living the right way ourselves. Well, we're making examples of ourselves now.
Carlos Cardenas also posted the video about the carbs that Dr. Oz
and cocaine.
The carbs and cocaine.
Yeah, the Dr. Oz is stretching, and maybe it's not him. It could be these people who came up. They are working so hard to sensationalize every topic to get people to tune in that he is now starting to sound like a tabloid newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, here's a guy who was bashing Gary Taubes
right.
for his aversion to certain carbohydrate sources.
Uh-huh.
Right. And then he comes up with a show that says the food that is equal to cocaine or something like that. And it turns out that he's talking about carbohydrates.
Right.
It's like, it's just ridiculous. I just think that he's going too far. You want to talk about that now? Because we were actually going to talk about that later in the show towards the...
Well,
the
since we're talking about obesity, okay. I just thought maybe it might be for now.
Yeah, there was an article in the newspaper written by who? What's his name? Ken Fujikawa?
F-U-J-O-K-A from the Washington Post.
Yeah, Fujikawa. And he's a special staff writer for the Washington
Post. But he's also a doctor.
Yes.
Okay, and he wrote an article about obesity... drugs that are needed.
Yeah, we need obesity drugs.
So he's challenging the FDA to come forward with more drugs to treat obesity.
Right. And that's not the problem. But the things that you and I take issue with that he said is, number one, that it's the people don't have the willpower to avoid the crap food.
Let me just read this. In this article, he says, we live in an environment that promotes weight gain. All around us are single-serving, high-calorie coffee drinks as large as wine bottles, unavailable neighborhoods to walk in, and inexpensive, unhealthful food.
And you know what? Shame on him, because that's not all that's out there. There are good foods, but the big problem is that the government sends the wrong message to people, telling them that they should be eating starches and cereals as their predominant food source. This is where the obesity comes from, Dr. Fujikawa. You got it all wrong.
It says, we encourage patients to diet and exercise, but those tools alone are not realistic.
That is a lie. They are realistic, and they work. And they work better than pharmaceutical drugs. This guy has to be a shill for Big Pharma. He has to be. The notion that we have to enlist the FDA and big pharmaceutical companies to come to the rescue of obese people is just an opportunity to promote the parasitic relationship of the pharmaceutical industry. That's all this is.
He also says most people are trying to fight biology and not just habits when they try to lose weight.
Right. You know, shame on you, Dr. Fujikawa. Look back in history 100 years ago when malnutrition was the big problem and you couldn't find a fat person. The food sources are different. That's the problem.
And he ends the article by saying the truly grave risk comes from the lack of viable options.
Yeah, the lack of viable options. You know, I want you to read one other thing in there. Doesn't he talk about the cost of obesity in this nation? Isn't it $150 billion a year? They estimate that obesity costs this nation?
That was in 2008.
In 2008. So today it's even worse.
$150 billion in 2008. We spend five times more on obesity each year than the government spends on the National Institutes of Health.
Right. And that's a bad analogy, the National Institutes. I would compare that to other things. But the bottom line is, the one thing that I do agree with him is that obesity is draining this nation.
Yes.
Of all of its natural resources.
I'm shocked at what he wrote. And he's a doctor.
I think insurance companies should be allowed to turn obese people down from coverage entirely. And I know that's politically incorrect and no one would want to ever do that because it'd be like, oh, that's not good. But you know what? If people need to take responsibilities. Look, I can't take responsibility for hardly anything except my own body. That's the last bastion of responsibility. If I can't be responsible for my own body, then I shouldn't even be walking on the earth.
Yep. Well, didn't you send Dr. Connolly an email asking him to come on? And
yeah, I want to get Ken Fujikawa on the show, and I don't want to debate him because I'm not a doctor, and I'm going to get that. Well, you're not a doctor. You don't know what you're talking.
Exactly.
So Dr. Connolly and I think the same about these kind of things. I would love to have Dr. Connolly come on and debate Ken Fujikawa, and I have a funny feeling that Dr. Connolly would win that debate because Fujikawa is clearly a shill for the big pharmaceutical industry.
That's what it has to be. This article just incensed me.
Yeah. Yeah, made me angry too. And on that note, we probably should go ahead and take our break because we're actually going to cover that a little bit later in the show. But why don't we do this? Let's take our break. When we come back, we're going to talk about – this is our July 4th special.
Yes, and – okay.
No, no. And didn't you want to wish
– Well, I wanted to wish our Canadian listeners a happy Canada Day because it's also – today's Canada Day.
Yeah. So and that's kind of similar to our independence, right? Canada Day is similar to our 4th of July, right?
It is. It's exactly the same. They have parades and barbecues and fireworks just like we do.
Cool, cool. All right. So here's what we're going to do. We'll take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to be discussing – interestingly enough, I found this really interesting. Elisa has done a ton of research looking at our founding fathers to find out which of them could be considered physical culturists by today's standard. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
When the bell begins to chime.
Come on. CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5388. And mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio.
Branched-chain amino acids have been shown to be as powerful as weak anabolic steroids in building muscle and burning fat. BCAAs will increase mitochondria biogenesis and size. The three amino acids in BCAAs pass right from the lining of the stomach directly into the bloodstream and begin flipping the switches for muscle growth immediately. The best BCAAs are at TrueProtein.com. Unlike others, they mix instantly in water. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Go to TrueProtein.com and get your BCAAs.
Nowhere is performance enhancement more important than in the bedroom. That's why I use VIP from Geared Up Nutrition. VIP is a blend of herbal and botanical agents that maximize pleasure and performance. And it works for women too. In fact, VIP is so good you'll swear it's pharmaceutical. But it's not. And best of all, you only need one capsule about an hour before you're about to get passionate, and VIP works for up to 3 days. You can get VIP by going to VeryIntensePleasure.com. Try it once and you'll buy it again and again. VeryIntensePleasure.com. Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer because now there's opresource.net. At OP Resource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to opresource.net, and you should too. Check them out today. opresource.net.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizol, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizol works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Should we be standing right now?
I think we should. Take your headphones off. You're not supposed to have a hat on.
Well, I do have my hand over my heart, as you do. That makes me want to cry, believe it or not.
Well, you know, it kind of gives me cold chills and little bumps.
You know what? We had to do that every... When I was a kid in parochial school, every single morning we had assembly. In the warm weather, it was outside in the parking lot. In the cold weather, it was inside the auditorium. And we had to do the listen to the national anthem, and we had to do the what was it that with the Pledge of Allegiance?
Uh-huh.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Yeah.
There yes. You go. You know, I know I rail against. I don't hate the country. I'm not anti-patriotic. Really, I'm probably more patriotic than most people. I'm so frustrated. What government is doing to its people. We have the finest people in the world here in the United States because we are made up of every country
right.
in the world here.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just so upset about what is being done to this country. But on that note, it didn't start out that way, did it?
No. Mm-mm.
Our founding fathers really understood what was healthy.
Well, what's interesting, and just by, you know, the few men that I researched, most of them were farmers. Their fathers were farmers. Their sons became farmers, and they were farmers most of their life.
Even while they were holding public offices, they had farms, because back in those days, you didn't have an Alpha Beta or a Kroger to go over to. You made your own food.
Exactly. I read something where Benjamin Franklin, he was in Europe, and he actually used to write his wife and ask her to send apples and cranberries, things like that he couldn't get there.
Right.
But like Thomas Jefferson, he had a garden with over 250 vegetables in it.
Variations of vegetables.
Variations of
That's
vegetables.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. And I'm sure that, well, I know you told me that these gentlemen farmed their whole lives. Even when they were out of office, they went back to farming.
Exactly. Like John Adams, for example, when he was finished with his public office, he went back to gardening. That was his great love, one of his great loves. John Adams loved to garden. His father was a farmer, and his son, John Quincy Adams, who was also a president of the United States, he was a farmer as well.
Now, while we may think of physical culturists as being individuals who go into the gym and lift weights, these guys were lifting weights as part of farming. And you actually spent time, part of your childhood, living on a farm with Papa Ben, right?
I did. Okay. Actually, my mother used to get mad at my stepfather, Papa Ben is what I called him, because he would make me carry things, and she would say, "She's not a man, don't treat her like one." I would be carrying bales of hay around.
Right.
They weighed 60 pounds, which really isn't a lot, but when you're young and, you know.
And a girl,
it was bigger than me.
Right. But interestingly enough, I mean, when you think about how hard you work when you have a farm,
mm-hmm.
you don't have to go to the gym.
No.
I mean, we call them farmer's walks for a reason. Because farmers regularly grab heavy things, one in each hand, and walk long distances with them.
Well, you pick that bale of hay up, and you're in the barn, and you're throwing it into the stall where the cow is. I mean, you're heaving and hoeing
and lifting it and picking it up.
You know
what? That's like a clean and press or a power clean. I mean, yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So our founding fathers were essentially physical culturists
mm-hmm.
because They used their body. They were physical every single day of their lives. Even when they were in office, they were still farming.
Right.
Okay. But more importantly, they had ideals about nutrition, apparently. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had... They like who was it that you said was the first person to bring and start producing?
Thomas Jefferson was the first man to plant sweet potatoes and tomatoes in the New World.
So all of you bodybuilders out there who eat sweet potatoes as part of your diet process, you can thank Thomas Jefferson for bringing the sweet potato to the United States. I mean, essentially.
Yeah, he was the first person to plant sweet potatoes in the New World.
Right.
So.
Yeah, and also. While there are some people who are very, very prominent for signing the Declaration of Independence.
Yes.
Which are...
Well, there were 56 people who signed, which I didn't know 56 men signed the Declaration of Independence.
Because all I remember from school was like Benjamin Franklin, John Hancock, because he had the most prominent, he did the most prominent signature. It's beautiful.
His signature was very elegant, eloquent.
Yeah.
And it was large, and that's why today we call, when you sign something, give me your John Hancock.
Right,
it's another term for signature.
So Ben Franklin, John Hancock, Thomas Jefferson, and George Washington, right?
No, George Washington, I don't think
he wasn't on the Declaration of Independence?
John Adams was the president at the time of the Declaration of Independence. He actually, John Adams actually had Thomas Jefferson write, he was the major author of the Declaration of Independence because he was such an eloquent writer,
Thomas Jefferson had to be a genius. I mean, because there are things in the Declaration of Independence that are not typical bastions of protecting government.
Right.
So he really was for the people. He understood that government could overpower people, and that's why the things that he wrote clearly created he was very judicious. There was a balance in there.
Well, historians do say that Thomas Jefferson is one of the most influential presidents ever.
Period. End of story.
End of story. Period.
You don't think that he'll, Obama's going to dwarf him at any point in the future? No, I guess not.
I don't have an opinion on that. I'm Switzerland on that.
Okay. But anyway, getting back to Thomas Jefferson, more importantly, Benjamin Franklin.
Benjamin Franklin was such an interesting man. He just really was.
Let's talk a little bit about his diet. Let's talk a little bit about dietary habits. Wasn't it Benjamin Franklin who preferred killing his animals through electrocution because it made them more tender than the traditional ways of slaughtering animals? Wasn't that Ben Franklin?
Yes, it was. Well, he was the
He was the gadget guy.
Yes, he was the gadget guy.
He was Professor Gadget, right.
Right. I'll read something that is a quote of Benjamin Franklin. He said, "Two nights ago, being about to kill a turkey from the shock of two large glass jars containing as much electrical fire as 40 common files, P-H-I-A-L-S,
okay.
I inadvertently took the whole throw my own arm and body."
So he was trying to electrocute a turkey to kill it so that he could cook it and eat it.
Because
he electrocuted himself.
Yes, because it made them uncommonly tender when he did it that way.
Right, right. So, I mean, so that was his way of, and obviously a lot of these guys, their predominant source of food was animal protein.
Yes, animal protein. Interestingly enough, though, on Benjamin Franklin, he ate ginseng.
Oh, yeah, huh?
He ate pickles. He said,
"Ginseng used to be called man root because the root actually looks like a human being, so they called it man root. And ginseng has been a staple of the Appalachian region and the New England region. So it doesn't surprise me that he ate ginseng."
Actually, Benjamin Franklin said that he wished the turkey had been chosen as the national bird rather than the bald eagle.
So he was a guy who led with his stomach and not his heart, obviously, when he was patriotic.
Yes, he said. Benjamin Franklin also said, I want to get back to the pickles for just a second. He said, "Squeamish stomachs cannot eat without pickles."
So people who have weak stomachs should eat pickles with their meals.
That's what he said.
I wonder why. I wonder what pickles do. I mean, maybe the brine helps you digest something, or I don't know. Who was it that used to walk before and after every meal?
That was John Quincy Adams. John Quincy Adams obviously was John Adams' son.
Right.
So he was not on the Declaration of Independence. But he, too, was the president of the United States. He was the sixth president of the United States.
And he was an advocate for walking before and after every meal.
Yes. He was known to take long walks prior to eating his dinner and after eating his dinner.
I wish we knew what condition he was in, because there's a lot of evidence that even moderate amounts of exercise before a meal cause the body to do different things with the food but through repartitioning. So that, I wonder if he was very lean and very strong. It would be interesting to find that out. I don't know that we're going to find out right this second. Who else had interesting dietary beliefs or habits, Elisa?
Well, Thomas Jefferson lived in France for a while.
Right.
So he was the American minister to the court of Louis the 16th.
Which we live in Louisville, which is named after
Louis
the 16th. Yeah, right.
Yes. But there he was introduced to some foods. He was introduced to a pasta making machine.
Oh, really?
Thomas Jefferson, which he brought back. And when he returned to the U.S., he brought back with him shiploads of raisins, Parmesan cheese, and macaroni.
Now, Parmesan cheese apparently was a real big hit back then with these guys, because wasn't it Ben Franklin who said that he would rather have the recipe for Parmesan cheese than any other document around? Uh-huh. I mean, these guys must have loved Parmesan cheese.
I'll read his quote from Benjamin Franklin. And here he says, quote, "And for one, I confess that if I could find in any Italian travels a receipt for making Parmesan cheese, it would give me more satisfaction than a transcript of any inscription from any stone whatever."
Wow.
Unquote. And then 4 years later, in 1773, Franklin received a letter from Dr. Leith, who explained the process at length.
Of making Parmesan
making cheese. Making Parmesan cheese.
How do you like that? These guys love Parmesan cheese. That's so funny. I mean, you and I eat Parmesan cheese.
I love Parmesan cheese.
I mean, we don't grate it. We actually just cut chunks of it off and
just
eat
like
it.
Like a little brick of it.
Yeah, I know. I love Parmesan cheese, too. That's pretty funny that Parmesan is so popular. So what other bits of information would you want our listeners to know about our founding fathers?
Well, Thomas Jefferson, I've got actually some information on food that he liked to eat. He loved deviled eggs with anchovies on them.
Mm, and I love anchovies.
He also liked oysters.
Ah, Thomas Jefferson did?
Mm-hmm.
He did father a lot of children.
Yes, he did.
Oysters are known to, you know.
He fathered quite a bit of children.
Yeah. And he was an equal opportunity
lover,
wasn't he? He didn't have any racial barriers at all.
No, he did not. Actually, he did send some of his staff members to learn about French cuisine, because he loved French cuisine from when he lived in France.
Right, right.
So, and then he had them learn
how to cook French food for him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, that's pretty cool.
He also liked lamb. Thomas Jefferson did.
Lamb, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not. Are you a big? You like lamb? I'm not either. I don't know if it's because I haven't had much of it that I can appreciate it, but it tends to be a little sweeter than the meat that I like.
One thing I'd like to say is they did drink a lot of alcohol.
Yeah, lots of wine.
Wine, Madeira wine, which is a Portuguese wine.
Okay.
So
I didn't know that. I thought Madeira wine was from Spain, actually. But
no, Portuguese.
But they didn't drink wine and alcohol because they wanted to get drunk. It was an interesting reason. Why did they drink so much alcohol?
Because they didn't have access to clean drinking water.
How do you like that? They didn't have access to clean drinking water, so the next go-to thing was alcohol.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think in George Washington's case, you know, he was kind of known as being grouchy.
Right. Why?
Because he had dentures. He had wooden dentures. I don't know. You're going to say he needed testosterone, probably.
No. I'm in agreement with you. I think the poor guy was in misery.
He was miserable because of his wooden dentures. So he would drink. They said, I read where he would have a state dinner. I don't think it was called a state dinner back then, but once a week he and his wife Martha would have men.
Guests over.
Guests over to entertain for dinners. And, well, first of all, he wouldn't wait. If someone was late, he would just go ahead and move on with dinner.
So chances are, if he and I were friends, he would be eating alone quite often, because I'm usually late, right?
No comment.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm Switzerland today. But anyway, so he would actually drink a few pints of beer prior to dinner, and then with dinner he would drink wine. And then it's known that historians say that he would become gentler and more relaxed and fun after that.
And so the poor guy was miserable. He had no teeth. He probably didn't wear his dentures around the house because no one's around.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of that, he ate a lot of gruel, like grains and porridges and stuff like that.
Or he would eat porridge for breakfast every day.
Right, right.
It's probably because he couldn't eat.
Yeah, and he
things.
Didn't want to put his dentures in. And let's face it, getting used to even today's dentures have to be difficult. Wooden ones must have been horrible.
Can you imagine having to wear wooden dentures?
No, I can't. I can't imagine wearing dentures at all, but wooden ones are even worse.
Well, there's a restaurant in Manhattan that George Washington used to go to. It's a tavern.
Okay.
It's called Francis, F-R-A-U-N-C-E-S.
Francis Tavern. Yeah.
And it was founded in 1762.
Okay.
I've actually eaten there.
Really?
It's in the financial district near Wall Street.
Was the food good?
Mm-hmm.
Is it like, do they adhere to some of the old recipes, you think?
I'm not sure about that. I don't know the answer to that, but it's still up and it's still running and it's a really cool place.
Wow.
The inn's owner, his name was Samuel Francis. The original name of it was Queen's Head. Because it was a name that reflected the anti-crown sentiment of the owner.
Ah, interesting. Yeah, that's right, because they were trying to repel the British at that point in time.
But, and you know, the taverns back there weren't just restaurants, dining establishments. People got together and they would talk and dine, and then they spent the night there. So there's an inn there as well.
Oh, that's cool.
Uh-huh.
Also, didn't you tell me that it was John Adams who had a penchant for growing fruit? And fruit trees. He had a lot of fruit trees.
He was the first president to have a garden, fruits and vegetables. But he was also the second president of the United States. So
it was easy for him to be the first of something.
Yes. So.
So out of all of your research.
We haven't really touched on John Hancock.
Well,
at all.
Go ahead. Let's talk about John Hancock.
He wasn't a president. He was the president of Congress.
But he was one of our founding fathers. He was one of the people who authored and signed the Declaration of Independence.
Yes, so, okay. And he was the president of Congress when they signed the Declaration.
Okay.
So he used to import Madeira wine from Portugal.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
So he liked his wine.
And there was a story, I don't know the whole complete story, but there was a story about how he would import wine and then try to take some of it off before it went through customs so that he wouldn't have to pay taxes
on it.
Oh, well,
of course, yeah. He was trying to avoid the, what do they call that tax that when you go through, when you bring something, import something. But anyway, so he was a little slippery-handed.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, he was a protege of Samuel Adams.
And Adams brought the beer.
Exactly, and he was signed the Declaration of Independence as well,
right.
As did Robert Morris.
I mean, so there were 56 signatures on the Declaration, uh-huh. But we really only know about four or five of them, the
well,
truth is.
Yes.
I mean, very well. What about, in summary, would you say that what you've learned about our founding fathers would classify them more as Paleolithic style eaters?
Yes.
They ate a lot more animal protein?
Definitely. There were some mention, Abigail Adams, John's wife.
Right.
There was some mention of her saying that they needed grains,
mm-hmm.
In the letters. She and John wrote letters often to each other. There's actually a book out
right.
of their letters. And there was also mention of molasses and bread. Mm. But as you said, their bread would not be the processed bread that we had. It was homemade, and it was probably more like Ezekiel.
Very, very crude bread, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't adding anything to them to make it look like whole wheat bread or, you know, all the other crap that you get in bread today. But,
right.
Bread has been around since biblical times because it's inexpensive for people to feed themselves with. So obviously bread is always going to be a staple even then. But would you say that
their main
predominantly was animal protein?
Uh-huh.
And weren't you also shocked by the number of people that lived to be 80 and above in that group?
I was. They were all like, I know John Adams and Thomas Jefferson both died on July 4th.
The same year, just hours apart of each other. Oh, wow.
I'm not sure what year it was that they passed, but they were in their 80s, I think.
So that flies in the face of what the medical orthodoxy wants us to believe, that through the wonders of medicine and today's nutritional standards, we are living longer. Clearly, people lived into their eighth and ninth decade of life back then as well.
Yes, without
a
doubt.
Go figure.
I know. Interesting.
Who knew?
But, you know, they lived off the earth. They farmed. They did their own gardening. They had their own cows. They, you know, drank raw milk.
Raw, yeah, it was raw milk. Boy, nobody was dying from the milk back then. Oh my God, go figure. And their own vegetables and the, you know, they tended the land themselves. And we need to get back to that. We have to get back to the point where we are at least producing some portion of our own food. We have to.
And if not, then visit your local farmers markets and support your farmers who are.
Support the Mennonites. They're the hardest working people I've ever seen in my life, and they tend to be the ones who bring the stuff to the farmers market.
Uh-huh. They do.
Find yourself a Mennonite farmer to grow your food. That's the answer. Is there anything else you want to talk about, Elisa, in this vein of our tribute to the founding fathers?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Oh,
so,
John Adams did drink a lot of tea.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
I wonder what kind of tea. I guess that was black tea back then, wasn't
uh-huh.
it? Yeah,
I think
pretty
so.
Much all. All right, why don't we do this? Let's go ahead and take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we will pick it up with more topics of interest. You're listening to Casual Friday on Superhuman Radio. I'm in the studio with the lovely and talented Elisa Profumo, who is now going to be our educational advisor as well.
Oh, yeah, right.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer, because now there's OPResource.net. At OPResource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to OPResource.net, and you should too. Check them out today. OPResource.net.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no-carb food. And Miracle Noodle tastes great. So go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your Miracle Noodle at superhumanradio.com today.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
I wish you could see Elisa dancing in her seat right now. It's so cute.
I like that song. I did like the Star Spangled Banner, though.
Wasn't it touching?
That's kind of emotional for me.
Because I think, as you know, we've heard that song throughout our lives from when we were kids all the way through,
mm-hmm.
at very significant points in time, you know, presidential inaugurations. And mm-hmm. it is interesting when you hear it. It does evoke an emotion. And you know what else evokes an emotion, Elisa? How wonderful I feel about the new Superhuman Radio Forum at anabolicminds.com.
Is it bringing tears to your eyes?
It makes me so happy. No, really, anabolicminds.com, the premier website for fitness, health, bodybuilding, anti-aging, all of it. They've got a community there of over 100,000 members, over 2 million posts, and we now have the official Superhuman Radio Forum there. You can get there by going to the superhumanradio.com website and clicking the forum link. It takes you right to the SHR forum. You can post information about shows. You can share information with the community. You can ask for their help, and you'll get good help there. And then you can obviously browse some of the other forums they have there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Don't feel compelled to stay contained just to the Superhuman Radio forum. But, yeah, absolutely very, very happy that we have that relationship now with Anabolic Minds. I'm asking everybody to go there and log in and post something. There you go.
Okay, so a little while ago we were talking about Benjamin Franklin and pickles.
Right.
Nick Guggs posted on Facebook that pickles, along with vinegar, have enzymes that slow digestion of carbohydrates in the stomach.
Yeah, and that's true. Vinegar will blunt the gastric emptying of carbohydrates so that it actually can effectively lower the glycemic index of carbs. But when he said squeamish stomach, I think of somebody who's got like a weak stomach where they get sick easily. And I just thought it was interesting. I'm going to start. I may try pickles just to see what it does for me.
Well, I think I want to read about Benjamin Franklin. He was such a colorful character.
Could you imagine him electrocuting turkeys? Like the electric chair.
So you wanted to talk about...
I want to talk about the new snack food that is going to drive your pet crazy.
What is it?
Your big toe.
Oh, no.
Yeah, a listener of the show, longtime listener of the show, Chris Kistler, sent me this article. And the article reads, "Dog consumed part of a sleeping patient's toe, a case study to highlight the danger of pets in the presence of open wounds."
That's interesting.
It is interesting. Obviously, as soon as I started reading this, I thought about open wounds. And the first thing I think about when I think of an open wound on the foot as a diabetic, mm-hmm. with ulcerated feet and diabetic neuropathy. And sure enough, as soon as I started reading it, this woman went to sleep. She has diabetes. She was an amputee. She had one leg removed already. She had open lesions on her foot, open sores on her foot. So she went to bed with her little Jack Russell Terrier, as she always does. And during the night, while she was sleeping, because of the neuropathy, she had no feeling in the foot. The little Jack Russell went ahead and helped himself to her big toe.
Oh, that's disgusting.
The only reason she knew this was she didn't wake up. It wasn't like she woke up and went, "Oh, my God, my toe." She woke up like she normally did. She noticed that there was blood in the Jack Russell's fur around his mouth. And then she looked down at her foot and went, "I could have sworn I had a big toe yesterday."
It's not funny. I'm sorry.
I know. It's not funny. But it's, you know, it is funny. It's just another of the casualties of obesity and diabetes in this country.
It is.
And
yes.
So naturally, what happens? They take her into the hospital. They amputate the rest of the toe, the little nub that's left. She ends up with complications from the amputated toe, develops more infections, and now she's a double amputee. They ended up having to cut her entire leg off as a result of the diabetes. Not just because of what the dog did, but because of the inability of a diabetic to heal and deal with infection.
That's terrible.
But there is good news.
What?
The portion of her leg that they amputated, they did give it to the dog, so she won't be buying dog food for the next couple of weeks.
Did she keep the dog?
I think that was, I don't know. I don't know. I that's a good question. Did she keep the dog? I don't know. I'd have to, I'm going to email them and ask if they suggest, let me see here. Doesn't say anything about whether or not they kept the dog.
Okay.
But there you go. If you have diabetes, you may want to have the teeth removed from your dog before he starts helping himself to parts of your body. Or cure yourself of diabetes by going on a virtually no carbohydrate diet for 6 months. Oh, that would be too simple. And anyway, Dr. Fujikawa says that that wouldn't work anyway. So let's just forget that.
Makes okay.
too much sense.
Quiet time.
Yeah. Well, you said okay, so I knew you had something.
Oh, did you want to talk about the baby boomers?
Yes.
Fueling the boom in knee and hip surgeries.
Yes. And you know, this is I've been thinking about it. This is actually part of the mentality of baby boomers that make them so susceptible to the pharmaceutical agenda. Nobody wants to do anything that takes even a modicum of work to correct a problem. The easiest thing is to just go have your hips or knees replaced as soon as something, you know, this. The reality is that the baby boomers are driving hip and knee replacement. I mean, like, boom business. It's great.
Do you think they really need the replacement surgeries?
Oh, absolutely. I think they do because they're not willing to do other things when the knees and hips start getting bad. They buy it when the doctor says, you know what, in a couple years you're going to have to consider knee and hip replacement. We have a friend
yes.
who shall remain nameless.
Uh-huh.
Who has been told by his doctor that he needs new knees, right?
Double knee surgery, yes.
Right. And I convinced him to try...
Alternate therapy.
An alternate therapy. Mm-hmm. And what that alternate therapy is ultra-high doses of glucosamine and chondroitin in the presence of a modicum of growth hormone.
Right.
2 IUs a day of growth hormone and very, very high doses of glucosamine and chondroitin. And I told him, be patient. It's going to take a minimum of 6 months to even start seeing anything. Now, obviously, he talked to his doctor about this.
But didn't he go in and get some injections, too?
Yes. Here's what I suggested. When he first told me that he was having these knee problems, I told him to go and get low molecular weight hyaluronic acid injections called Hyaluron. One injection at each knee. It's called an intra-articular injection. They inject it right into the capsule where the hyaluronic acid is supposed to be. And you go once a week for 3 weeks. And then you wait about 2 or 3 weeks from then, and you notice a greater degree of viscosity in the joint. But the degeneration of his meniscus is so profound that he noticed minimal changes in the joint.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's ready to go for knee replacement surgery.
Okay, so you've got him, or you discussed.
I gave him some choices. He made his own choices. I didn't prescribe. I didn't do anything. I just said to him, you know. One of the most profound side effects, it's a noted side effect of growth hormone administration, frank growth hormone administration, is the overproduction of chondrocytes that causes almost a crowding or bulging of the joints. Anybody who knows a bodybuilder who's done high doses of growth hormone knows that joint pain comes on very quickly,
mm-hmm.
and the joint pain is associated with a crowding of the joint. That's a result of the high increase in chondrocytes, that the actual meniscus gets so thick that it starts to push the joints apart. So if you take that information, you say, okay, instead of using stupidly high doses of growth hormone, what if you use reasonable doses, the doses that anti-aging doctors prescribe?
Mm-hmm.
No more than 3, somewhere around 1 to 2 IUs a day, 5 days a week. And then you turbocharge the process by high doses of glucosamine and chondroitin, which, mm-hmm. of course, I recommend that he use GLC 2000 because it's the best glucosamine chondroitin on the market, and it's the cheapest on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
So now what you're doing is you're not only stimulating the development of chondrocytes, but you're giving your body the building blocks to build it. And I predict, I'm going to go on the air right now and predict, that sometime in the next 7 or 8 months that we're going to talk about this nameless friend again, and we're going to find out that it's changing. His joints are changing.
Okay, so can I ask you a question?
What?
I see him at the gym working out because oftentimes we're there at the same time.
Right.
And I never see him do any leg work. Should he be doing leg
well,
work?
That's the reason that baby boomers are having joint problems. The reason that the baby boomers are having knee and hip, that's the new – when I want to talk about knees and hips, I'm just going to say nips. Okay?
It's easier.
The reason that they're having nips problems is because – There is no conscious effort to keep the quadriceps, hamstring, and hip flexor muscle strong.
Strong, exactly. And so it's like he thinks that if he works his legs, that it's going to do more harm.
Right.
When in essence, he really should be.
Right. And if anything's going to do harm, it would be long distance running,
mm-hmm.
in his current state. Okay.
And that's what they
prescribe to.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
So the reality is that once the meniscus starts to rebuild in his legs, then the maintenance approach would be to not only continue that protocol, but now to start adding in work to strengthen the hamstrings, glutes, hip flexor muscles, quadricep muscles, and calf muscles. So the muscles are giving the joints support instead of the joints just clanging around like, you know, loose bars of metal. There is going to be tension pulling the joints and keeping them aligned and keeping them strong.
I've known this person for many years.
Right.
And I've worked out in the gym with him for several times, many right. years. And I've never, ever seen him work his legs.
And that's probably why he has knee problems.
Mm-hmm.
Because his quadriceps and hamstrings are not supporting his knees. And so his knees are getting full pounding or every time he takes a step. The joints are just going pa-punk, 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 and that's it. I know this firsthand because I lost my ACL at a very young age in a skiing accident. And I had the opportunity to see the orthopedic surgeon that was working with the Mets because of my relationship with Joe Pignatano and Frankie Pignatano. And so his name was Dr. Jim Parks. And he said to me, look, you're not a professional athlete. So you don't really need me to go in there and put a cadaver ACL in for you. That opening of the joint is just going to promote arthritis when you get older. He said, if you can make your hamstrings and quadricep muscles stronger, that will support the joint by itself. And that's what I did. And I've never had a problem with my left knee, ever.
That's interesting. I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday who is a manicurist, and she sits all day long doing nails, and she said she was having back problems. And I suggested to her to strengthen her hamstrings, her glutes, and start doing some leg work.
Right.
Because she was really in pain.
Right. And see, that's counterintuitive to people. They would think, well, wait a minute, my back hurts. Why would I want to do anything to strengthen my back?
Exactly.
It already hurts. I'm going to hurt it more if I try to do that.
Uh-huh.
But that's the message they're being told by their doctors. I'll never remember an orthopod who told me don't ever deadlift. The sheer force against your spine is going to cause problems. And I'll never forget when he stood up after our meeting, he was hunched over.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I felt like telling him maybe you should deadlift once in a while.
Didn't you tell me that somebody works out in the same gym with the guys, the vegan diet?
Yeah, we had him on the other day. Yeah, Jackson Yee, he was on the show the other day. We did an interview about mental toughness, and he said that one of the guys who produced Forks Over Knives works out in the gym there in Santa Monica. He says the guy looks like he said it on the air. He said the guy looks like he's an AIDS patient. He said he's pasty, he's skinny, he's weak, and they're promoting that hidden agenda, the vegan diet. So, I want to go on to something else real quick, if that's okay.
That's fine.
Dr. Lauren Cordain came on my show and said that in order for cows to produce milk, they have to receive hormones. So you and I were at the farmer's market last week,
yes.
And I asked my farmer if he'd come on the show, but the problem is the hardworking Mennonite that he is, he has no time to do anything other than what he's doing.
Right.
But you were there when we talked.
I was.
So I said to him, Jay, I said, do you give your cows hormones to get them to produce milk? And he goes, no.
You sound like him.
I and I said, well, I had a guy who said that in order for cows to continue to produce milk after they give birth, they have to – give him hormones. And he goes, no. Right? I said, so how does it work? And he said that, first of all, once a cow gives birth, it will continue to give milk until you stop milking it. And I thought about something.
Yes.
Women who breastfeed, their milk doesn't just stop. There's some women who breastfeed for 2 years. There's some women who breastfeed for 6 months.
Yes.
So as long as the process of emptying the mammary gland, it will refill.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So I said, well, tell me what you do, you know, to keep milk going year round. He goes, well, first of all, every one of our cows has to give birth once a year. He said, so in the 12-month year, he said, we will have a cow give milk for 7 to 9 months. Then we let her dry out. I said, what do you mean let her dry? Well, we stop milking her. I said, oh. And then once they dry out, we get them pregnant. She gives birth, and we start another 7 to 9 month of milking process.
The whole process starts over.
So that was an incorrect information that Dr. Cordain gave. Now, in Dr. Cordain's defense, cows that are used in commercial dairies are never bred. They don't give birth. So they have to give them injections of hormones to fool their body into thinking that they just gave birth.
That's the difference. Okay.
Yes. Yes. So If you're getting raw unpasteurized milk from a farmer who breeds his cows, they don't use hormones to keep the milk flowing. They just want, after every birth, that cow, and Jay said he has a friend who the cow gives birth, they milk the cow for 2 years, and then they process the cow, meaning that they kill it and produce meat with it.
I wonder if they use electricity like Benjamin Franklin.
Yeah, there you go. It makes them more tender. Yeah. There's a couple of things I wanted to one other thing I wanted to mention, iTunes. I haven't been paying attention to iTunes lately, but I went there this morning, and there's lots of good comments. If you use iTunes to listen to the show, I'd like to ask you to do me a favor and go to the iTunes page for Supreme Radio and make a comment. But I want to point out one comment in particular. Someone posted that they like the show, but the commercial breaks make them cringe.
And that they were too long.
Too long. And they exaggerated. First of all, I run 6 spots during every break, and they're 30 seconds long, but sometimes they go over 32, 34 seconds or so on. So the idea is it should be a 2.5-minute break in between a 12-minute segment.
So okay. It's not 6 minutes.
No, it's not. He said it was a 6-minute segment and then 4 minutes of commercial, and that's just way too much. And it's just not true. It's not true. The other thing he said was, why do you have to play the same commercials over and over again? We don't play the same commercials over and over again. Every advertiser gets a minimum of 1 spot. If I have available inventory, I put them in there again to let their spot run again, to do them a favor since they're patronizing the show. Because let's face it, I don't, this is not listener supported radio. I'm not asking people, hey, you've got to sign up for a membership of $1 a month in order to listen to my show. I have to make money somewhere. And I make it through the sponsors.
And that's what allows him to be able to listen to your show.
And negatively comment about the show. So if I went to listener-supported radio where people paid 99 cents a month to download shows, then he wouldn't complain about the spots.
Or 99 cents an episode, because iTunes charges, well, now I think it's more than 99 cents per song.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
But I mean, the point is this. I need those of you out there who do download my show through iTunes to go to your iTunes page where the show is, Superhuman Radio, and make a comment. If you like the show or not, I don't care. I want to know. I want to get feedback. I want to know what people think. I mean, if you think the commercials are too long, maybe we'll go to listen to supported radio. I mean, I'm not opposed to that.
Okay.
We just play little breaks of music here and there to change subjects, and that's it.
Right.
All right, and on that note, here comes one of those 14-minute commercial breaks right now. We're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to pick it up. We've got listener, voicemail, and emails to read.
Yes.
Okay. Stay tuned. You're listening to Casual Friday on Supreme Radio. My favorite day, because the lovely and talented Elisa Profumo, who, if you have not friended yet on Facebook, what are you waiting for? Go to Facebook and look for Elisa, A-L-I-S-A, Profumo, and friend her. We'll be right back.
Ain't calling me baby. Better say my name.
All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com. Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
Branched chain amino acids have been shown to be as powerful as weak anabolic steroids in building muscle and burning fat. BCAAs will increase mitochondria biogenesis and size. The 3 amino acids in BCAAs pass right from the lining of the stomach directly into the bloodstream and begin flipping the switches for muscle growth immediately. The best BCAAs are at TrueProtein.com. Unlike others, they mix instantly in water, and you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Go to TrueProtein.com and get your BCAAs.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Now this one dedicated to the girl with the angel face and the devil heart. It also ragamuffin track and he must see you can't play as come feel the case. Step up my own, hear this.
I know this little girl, her name is Maxine.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. You should notice a difference in the quality of the stream today if you're listening to the show live. We've added bandwidth and we've bumped up the stream quality to 64 kilobits. Yeah, so you should notice that the music sounds a little bit better and the voices don't sound as tinny. And
does my voice sound tinny?
No, not yours, but some of the commercials. Sometimes when I used to listen to the old stream, I'd be like, wow, that doesn't sound good at all. So we made some modifications. Also because we're trying to get listed on iTunes Radio. And so we want the quality of the stream to be better. So there you go. Hopefully everybody's enjoying that.
Okay, so I have a question from Richard Russell.
Okay, I'm listening.
They have a healthy crop of oregano right now. Mm-hmm. And he asked me if I know anything about oregano oil and how to extract the oil from the oregano leaves.
I don't know that. I mean, I think there's a process to that that goes beyond something you could do in your house, don't you?
I don't know that. I told him I would ask my aunt. She is an expert on herbs, so I'm going to call her and consult with her about that.
Yeah.
But at this point, I don't know how to answer that. But what I can tell him, because he asked me what I do when I'm not using it fresh, how do I preserve it other than drying it? Other than drying it, you can actually freeze it. If you blanch it in boiling water for just a few seconds, and then cool it, and you can just put it in ice trays with water.
Well, you know, now that you say that, you know, one of the ways you probably could extract the oil from the oregano leaf, you just talked about it too. If you boil it and then you let it cool, the oil should rise to the top.
Mm-hmm.
That would be interesting to try.
That would be interesting to try. But however, so I just put it in the ice cube tray.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to that good old dollar store and buy a dollar tray.
Right.
And put it in the cube, freeze the water, and then if you're making sauce, you know, you always have to add a little bit of water. You can just take the cube. You could either let it just put it in there, the whole cube and all is what
do. Because you taught me that, because you did that with fresh basil during the winter.
No, that was oregano.
Was it oregano?
It was oregano.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. You're right.
It was oregano. And then you can also freeze it in freezer bags with a little bit of olive oil.
Oh, that's a good idea.
So, and that's opposed to drying it if you don't want to dry it.
Yeah, very good. We have a listener voicemail, and you know, you can always reach the show. The phone number is actually on the homepage. If you ever want to get a voice message to Elisa or I, and know that we may play it on the air. We don't play everything on the air. I mean, some messages, people are asking me a question that they want me to reply to, and it's not appropriate to play on the air. But if you do leave us a message and it's a good one and we think it's worth playing on the air, we will. Mm-hmm. You can call 206-222-2218, which is the Superhuman Radio hotline. You can check that out. But this one was left by a gentleman named Sean Knernshield, who actually, I mentioned his name during a show not too long ago. And he was so excited that I mentioned his name that now he's going to be even more excited when I play this this voicemail he left, which I had to shorten, but the pertinent information is in there, so check it out.
Hey, Carl. Sean Knernshield here in Topeka, Kansas. Just wanted to tell you I was listening to your show today, the one where you answered listeners' questions because one of your guests bailed out on you. And I surprisingly heard my name. I thought that was kind of cool. So I got a kick out of that. Pretty neat, because I didn't know you were going to mention it. And I said, hey, Carl just mentioned my name. So I thought that was pretty funny. And then also, I was going to tell you, I don't know if you did this for me or if you it just happened by accident or what, but I do really, really, really appreciate you not, you know, always doing the two-hour shows, you know, sometimes throwing in just a one-hour show because, you know, you were pumping out those shows left and right, 2 hours apiece, and it was just so many of them, I can't get them all listened to. I'm finally making some headway and getting caught up. And then also, I don't know if I'm supposed to do this or not, but I got the Super DMZ RX, and then I also got the Andromass from Primordial Performance. I've been using them both, and, you know, I'm on testosterone replacement therapy, but nothing. I mean, that testosterone replacement therapy did nothing like when I started taking the Super DMZ and the Andromass. I'm still on testosterone replacement therapy, but once I started taking the two orals, I just take them like they say to take them. My strength is just shot through the roof. I have never in my life seen anything like it. It's like, you know, I don't weigh anymore, but my strength is just shot up. Absolutely incredible. So just thought that was kind of cool. All right, Carl, I will talk to you later. And, again, appreciate everything you do. All right, have a good day, sir. Bye.
Well, there you go. So hopefully he'll get a kick out of hearing his voice on the air, too. Now. I didn't do that on purpose, the whole one-hour show thing.
No.
Excuse me. No. But once in a while, I have a guest who gets mixed up, and we don't have a two-hour show, so I just do a one-hour show.
Or you have guests like Richard Simmons that don't
even
answer.
Yeah, won't even answer your email. My God. Come on. Do you have another question that you want to read, or there's something else I want to do as well?
No, is there anything else for you?
Yeah, I want to mention this this message I got from James Godden on Facebook, but I want to drink some water first. Just give me 1 second.
Have you still been drinking your gallon of water a day? Mm-mm. No.
I haven't been getting to the gym. I just did this show with Elizabeth the other day.
Uh-huh.
I did it more for me than anybody else. It's like I need to get focused. I need to get on track. I need to stick with something longer than 3 days. But it's not like as though I just sit home and go to sleep. Life gets in the way.
Yeah, well, you've got some stress going on now. So. Yeah.
But anyway, James Godden messaged me, and we've been going back and forth on Facebook, and he had a nurse practitioner that he worked with at the VA hospital in Arizona. And she told him that she knows why the government is afraid of hormone replacement therapy. And I'm inclined to agree with her opinion.
Really?
I'm going to summarize here. But basically, and I actually did a show 2 years ago on some intelligence that I got that shows that the government has done research. I have this study, as a matter of fact. Lisa, remind me to give it to you to look at. The government actually did research of the most disruptive technologies that could threaten the U.S.'s position geopolitically, monetarily, militarily, or I'm trying to, it was five categories that if something had the potential to threaten our current standing of strength in one of these, it was listed on this thing. The number one threatening technology to the United States, as the way the government sees it, is the science of gerontology, living longer.
Really?
Yes. And so I did that show 2 years ago, and I've been saying for a long time that the government – I actually did a show once that was titled, The Government Wants You to Die on Time, because they don't want to have to dip. I mean, Medicare and Social Security, everything is stretched to the limits right now. So anyway, what her position is, basically what I'm saying, that hormone replacement therapy prolongs life. And the government doesn't want to prolong life. And, you know, if you really think about it, a lot of the decisions that the government makes, it kind of makes you think, gee, you know, why don't they want to cure diabetes? Why don't they? I mean, it's easy to cure. Why don't they want to call the food companies on the carpet that are causing problems? Why don't they want to call the pharmaceutical companies on the carpet that are causing problems? Because they're killing so many people. And that's the reason, because they're killing so many people. The government really can't handle the population that we have right now, given all of the stresses financially. Uh-huh. So that's her position, and I am inclined to agree with her. And he actually quotes some numbers. I don't know where these numbers came from. He said, but it makes sense, he says. There's 100,000 deaths that occur from alcohol every year. It's 5,400,000 deaths that are associated with tobacco use and cigarette smoking every mm-hmm. year. But there's only three people who die each year related to anabolic steroids. And I don't even know where that three came from. I can't believe that anybody dies from steroids. I got to be honest with you. I believe they die from some underlying cause while they were taking steroids. And so steroids are the easy go-to in those particular cases.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard to argue with this kind of logic. So I just wanted to put that out there. I do believe that the government, while may not be completely sinister, it's in their best interest that they not clean up this mess too soon until there's been a thinning of the herd. Now, the goal is not to be one of the herd that is thinned. And the way you can do that is by living by the things that we talk about on this show. And I'm not saying me, the people that we have on the show, every time we unfold some new technology, some new science, some new protocol that is designed to enhance longevity, flip your middle finger to the government by living longer. That's it. Oh, okay. So thank you for that Facebook message. So there you go. What else do we have to talk about, Elisa?
That's it.
Is that really it?
Yes.
Oh, my God. The show's over?
Yes.
Oh.
Happy 4th of July,
Happy
everyone.
4th of July. Remember, always throw your M80s ash cans and cherry bombs immediately after you light them so that you keep all of your fingers. And never, ever, 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 no matter how funny you think it is, launch a bottle rocket from your butt crack. Because take it from me, it burns.
Oh, you've done that?
When I was a kid, yes.
Are you serious?
Yes. Somebody dared me to do it, and I did it. That's right. That's right. I was not always as smart as I am today. I admit it.
I was playing with sparklers, writing my name with sparklers.
Were you when you were a kid? Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, there you go. Thank you for listening to today's show. We have lots of great shows planned already for next week. Unfortunately, they're all two-hour shows, Sean.
Except for Monday is a holiday.
Oh, yes. I'm off the air on Monday. Thank you very much, because it's 4th of July. I will be lighting off fireworks for anyone who wants to see what a butt crack burn looks like. All right. We'll see everybody next week.
Bye.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.